Brethren and sisters in Australia. St. Helena, California, October 26, 1901. Dear brethren and sisters in Australia, the Lord has been very tender and compassionate to His servant since we came from Australia. I have done a great deal of traveling and speaking, which has hindered me somewhat in my writing. I have carried a heavy burden for the work here and am still under the load. But although I am very seldom able to sleep past 2 or 2:30, my health is as good as it was when I was in Australia, and for this I thank the Lord. Sometimes my heart pains me severely, and at such times I have to walk my room, not daring to close my eyes in sleep for fear that I might never open them again. I am now at work at 2:00 in the morning, trying to do some of the writing I have had to neglect while traveling from place to place. I shall now remain at home for a time to do the work on my books which has been so long neglected. We rejoice with you that you could have so many good workers sent you from America. Yet we felt sad to see the laborers leaving this country, for here the long neglected fields are white unto the harvest. A great work has been left undone. This work must be done, but God only can place the burden where it belongs, imbuing with His Spirit those who have capabilities and talents which should be used in His cause. The signs of the times, the wars and rumors of wars, the strikes, murders, robberies, and accidents, tell us that the end of all things is at hand. God's Word declares, "As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Matthew 24:37-39. How true a description this is of the condition of the world today. The daily papers are full of notices of divorce and marriage after divorce, the marriage condemned in the words of the Savior, full of accounts of amusements and games, of pugilistic contests in which human beings maim and disfigure one another to exhibit their brutal strength. Under their great leader Lucifer, men are educating themselves to represent him. Who can doubt the truth of the prophet's words? "The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand." Daniel 12:10. There is an awful development of moral degeneracy. Under the guidance of Satan, men have lost their horror for bloodshed and murder. The assassination of the president of our nation has come as a great shock to the world. This awful deed shows that no one can be sure of his life. It is not only human agencies filled with the spirit of Satan who are arrayed against God. Satan himself stands at the head of his army, striving with all his power to perfect the force over which he rules, that he may wreak his vengeance on God's people. Knowing that his time is short, he has come down with great power to work against all that is good. He fills the minds of his instrumentalities with hatred against God and with an intense desire for revenge. In the Scriptures, he is represented as walking up and down as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The inhabitants of the world have largely given themselves into Satan's control. He acts as the god of this earth. Human beings, wholly given over to evil, cooperate with him in his conspiracies, helping him to carry out his plans against the government of God. Man has been granted a probation, that he may work out a character like the character of Christ. And though surrounded by the moral darkness which today fills the world, he can carry out God's purpose for him. For we read, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." John 1:12. Though sinful and erring, man is the object of God's love and compassion. by converted, sanctified, holy men and women, the kingdom of heaven is to be preached in the world, that the prayer may be answered, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 10. God's people need now to eat the flesh and drink the blood of Christ. When tried and tempted by the powers of darkness, they may remember that in the Savior they have a stronghold, a refuge into which they may flee and be safe. The stress of great temptation is already upon us. We are now to unite with one another in doing medical missionary work, even the work that Christ did when on this earth. We are to be one in Christ. Thus, we show our faithfulness to God, to our Redeemer, and to all who are born into His kingdom. Among the people of God, there is to be no dissension, no controversy, no warfare against one another. The forces of righteousness are to be a unit in their conflict with evil. All the strength of God's people is to be directed against the forces of the enemy. The will of every child of God is to be placed on the side of God's will. Satan's strong efforts against good, the terrible hatred of his agencies against God's agencies, show the need of union and harmony among the forces of righteousness. A terrible contest is before us. We are nearing the battle of the great day of God Almighty. That which has been held in control is to be let loose. The angel of mercy is folding its wings, preparing to step down from the golden throne and leave the world to the control of Satan, the king they have chosen, a murderer and a destroyer from the beginning. The principalities and powers of earth are in bitter revolt against the God of heaven. They are filled with hatred against all who serve him, and soon, very soon, is to be fought the last great battle against good and evil. The earth is to be the battlefield, the scene of the final contest and the final victory. Here, where for so long Satan has led men against God, rebellion is to be forever suppressed. Christ came to this earth in human form that he might stand as the captain of our salvation, so that we should not be overcome by Satan's power. And when the enemy has seemed to be gaining a signal victory over righteousness, God has been working in mercy and power to counteract his designs. Determined to efface the image of God in man, Satan works with an intensity of effort to hide God from view. Not openly does he work, but secretly, mingling the human and the divine, the spurious and the genuine, so seeking to bring confusion and distress. But in proportionate power, divine mercy is revealed to counteract this wicked working and bring to light the enemy's hidden purposes. God's people are to bear a bold, decided testimony for the truth, unfolding the purposes of God by the witness of pen and voice. In place after place, they are to proclaim the message of God's word, arousing men and women to comprehend the truth. When we consecrate ourselves to Christ, he speaks to the heart, filling it with his Spirit. We have no time to wrestle and contend among ourselves, no time to work on suppositions or cherish prejudices. It is too late for this, brethren, for Christ is at the door. There is a reality in sound doctrine. It is not as a vapor which passes away. Light is to shine forth from the Word of God. God calls upon his people to draw near to him. Let no one interpose between him and his people. Christ is knocking at the door of the heart, seeking for entrance. Will you let him in? If those who believe the truth permit Satan to control them, they will enter into wicked devising to show their supremacy. God says, hands off. Remember the words, "All ye are brethren," Matthew 23, verse 8. Let self die and let God live in the heart. Christ says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5, verse 14-16. The light which enables us to be lights in the world comes only through Christ, for he reveals the Father, full of grace and truth. The wonderful secret of redemption is told to all who love God and keep his commandments. John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ." 1 John 1, verse 1-3. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our message. Who is this Christ? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Isaiah 9, verse 6-7. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 18-20.